Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a nurse at Letterkenny University Hospital says basic care is being delayed and missed due to ongoing staff shortages. The number of COPD patients being admitted to Letterkenny University Hospital is down 22%. Successive governments have abandoned workers in the education sector who've had to take extended sick leave because they were assaulted in the course of their work. That's according to Intu's Mary T. Sweeney. And house prices in the border region have jumped 15.3%. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Aisin Kelly. First in news, a nurse at Letterkenny University Hospital says basic care is being delayed and missed due to ongoing staff shortages. Health unions held a lunchtime protest outside the hospital today in opposition to the HSE's pay and number strategy. SIPTU, FORSA and the INMO are seeking to highlight what they describe as the HSE's suppression of thousands of health posts. Sarah Maher, a clinical nurse manager in the emergency department at the hospital, says they are struggling to cope with the demand on resources.
What we're finding at the moment is we come into work every day, every night, and we are short-staffed every day and every night. These are posts that we're not allowed to fill because of the cap that they have placed on employment and their pretension that they have lifted the embargo. What they did was they implemented an embargo. We couldn't fill posts as a result of that. And then when they decide to lift the embargo, they've decided those posts aren't needed anymore, which couldn't be further from the truth. Our staff are in there every single day. They're coming in on their days off. They're coming in on annual leave, trying to fill up the vacancies. But even with that goodwill, which is running very low at the moment, we still can't cope.
And how difficult it is, Neil had mentioned that care is being compromised. Is that an absolute fear of yours?
It's not a fear. It's a fear, but it's a reality, unfortunately, every day. There are episodes of delayed care. There are episodes of missed care. Things like when we are providing basic nursing care for our patients, being able to turn the patients, getting them their medication on time, helping them with meals and toileting. The very basic things is what's being missed, is what's being delayed. And that's across the board, in the emergency department, it's happening on the medical wards, surgical wards, everywhere.
And do you feel that anybody's listening?
No, nobody's listening. We had an event in Dublin last month with a pre-budget submission. We spoke to TDs who were shocked and horrified to discover that the embargo, in effect, hasn't been lifted. They were unaware of the situation. And if they're unaware of it, then clearly nobody else, everybody else is unaware. Nobody's listening.
Well, Neil Donoghue, Industrial Relations Officer for the North West with the INMO, says care is being compromised as a result of posts not being filled. Speaking outside Letterkenny University Hospital earlier, he described how staff are being forced to provide care like a conveyor belt.
At the moment, you know, members are reporting potential compromised care in each of the workplaces. There are services where we're concerned that some might disintegrate if they're not able to maintain recruitment that can be done expeditiously. You know, we have a global shortage of nurses and midwives. Ireland has essentially said we've shut the doors to recruitment. That's not good enough. We depend heavily on overseas recruitment. We have to increase the capacity of the colleges to bring in more nurses and midwives. Who's going to go into a career if they're not certain that they're going to be employed? But ultimately, like I said, this is about the patient. Our members live with the guilt of what is missed, what cannot be done. They are constantly saying that they want to be able to give more time to the patients and the families that desperately need their care. And it simply becomes a conveyor belt when you don't have enough staff at the bedside. This has to change. We can't allow it to go on any further.
And that compromised care that you mentioned, the fear is that it could be too late someday, but the government, the need for investment, they've been warned.
The government need to start looking at the individual patient in the bed. How can you say to a patient who needs somebody there to assist them, the right person with the right skills at the right time, that they simply won't be there because we can't recruit fast enough? The directors of nursing and midwifery want to maintain safe services. They are absolutely dedicated to that, and they're simply hamstrung. They cannot do it if they don't have the staffing. We're still hearing that there's plenty of money being spent on agency, but you can't rely solely on agency. You must recruit the staff to have a core service that you know will be safe. I mean, at the end of the day, we believe that it should be mandated under legislation to have safe staffing levels in this country so the patients don't suffer. There are vulnerable people in their beds, and the only advocates at the minute seem to be the staff shouting for what the government should be doing.
Fine Gael says it's concerned about how Sinn Féin will finance its manifesto promises. The party plans to spend an extra €56 billion, made up of €41.8 billion in capital spend and €14.3 billion in current spending over the next 5 years. Pascal O'Donoghue is labelling the plan a huge risk. The public expenditure minister says Sinn Féin doesn't have a backup plan if Ireland's current economic conditions ever change.
Sinn Féin are telling the country that if you're earning less than €45,000, you won't have to pay USC. They're telling the country they're going to get rid of carbon tax. They're telling the country they're going to get rid of the local property tax. They're making all these promises in relation to taxation and saying they're going to spend more and more and more. Where is the money going to come from?
The cost of buying a home continues to rise sharply. CSO figures show prices increased by 10% in the 12 months to September. The median price of a home bought in that time was €346,000. Prices in the border area went up by 15.3%, while in the Mid-East region they rose by 7.5%. Chief Executive of the Institute of Professional Auctioneers and Valuers, Pat Davitt, outlines why there's a difference in the rates of increase in different areas.
It looks like prices may have reached a high that may be feeling that may not go any much higher in those areas. Obviously, different counties in Ireland, prices have moved up, and especially in the border region. And we'll see areas like these that haven't kept up with pace of what has been happening in the marketplace over the past probably 3 or 4 years. And you will see them catching up as time goes on. So I'm not surprised at the figures being high in those counties at all.
An election candidate in South Donegal says there needs to be a serious national conversation about a HICWA directive that residential and day services should not be offered in the same hospital building. Deputy Marion Harkin was speaking after the HSE confirmed day services are to be provided at Ballyshannon Community Hospital once staff are recruited. Long-stay beds at the community hospital opened this week, with additional services, including dementia care beds, to be put in place in the future. The recent statement from HICWA led to concerns that indicated day services might not be offered at the newly built hospital in Ballyshannon. Marion Harkin says that concern was very real.
For people who live in the area and the environment, all they care about is that those services will be there. The HSE also confirmed that the final 13 long stay beds would become operational from this week. That was a concern for many people, and they also confirmed that the next phase, which was the opening of short stay beds and dementia beds, was proceeding. So it's the job now of the politicians, and that includes myself, to make sure that those day services recommence as soon as possible, and also that the short stay and dementia beds, which are very badly needed.
This is positive news, as you say, for Ballyshannon, but it is also the case that many community facilities in Donegal and wider North West do have a situation where there are residential and day services provided within the same hospital setting. With that in mind, it suggests a very urgent conversation needs to be had to see how this is going to be addressed, because this is going to be a problem down the line.
You're absolutely right, Don. Hard and long conversations need to be had, because the problem in Ireland often is that we close down something without putting something in its place. If the best model is not to have, you know, co-location in let's say, older buildings, I'm not talking about Ballyshannon, but elsewhere, then let's look at the better model, but let's not close down what's there before we put something better in place.
An elderly woman has been seriously injured in Strabane after an incident involving two young males driving dangerously on an electric scooter and a bike. The incident occurred in the Melmount Road area within the vicinity of St Mary's Primary School at around 10 to 5 yesterday afternoon. Police are appealing to anyone who was in the area at the time and witnessed the incident to contact them on 101. Met Éireann says updates to existing weather warnings could be issued throughout the day. Galway, Clare, Limerick and Tipperary will come under a status orange alert for snow and ice tonight, while Cork and Waterford will be impacted by a similar warning for snow and rain. 17 counties will be under a status yellow snow and ice warning tonight, with it already in effect in some western counties, while a low temperature and ice alert will kick in for the entire country at 8 o'clock. Liz Coleman from Met Éireann says travelling conditions will be difficult tomorrow morning.
So there might be updates to the warnings through the day. It's quite a busy day for weather, so everyone stay in contact with the forecast at met.ie or on the Met Éireann app. But be prepared that there could be some lying snow in the morning. Difficult travelling conditions. If there's snow falling while you're travelling, poor visibility, so people need to be prepared.
The number of COPD patients being admitted to Letterkenny University Hospital is down 22%. The decrease is due to a newly developed alternative care pathway that has been available to people living with COPD since November 2023. 192 people have been admitted to the care virtual ward to date. It allows patients to be monitored and cared for while remaining at their own home. Jeanette Gibbons, a patient of the care virtual ward, says the care she's received has given her a new lease of life.
My breathing is a lot better. I had a chest check with me, our new GP there a couple of weeks ago. I was very proud when he said, your chest is not in that bad an order. Well, I went out of there 10 feet tall. I am breathing better. I have more stamina. And all because I'm paying attention to what I've been taught, how to do and look after myself properly while I have this condition. I don't know that I would be as good as I am now if I hadn't had the experience from the virtual team. From the minute that that girl spoke to me at my bed in the hospital, I hadn't looked back. In the past, people like me would have stayed indoors and ended up on oxygen. And that's what I thought was going to be the next step. I'm going to have oxygen at home. And now I feel I'm light years away from that. I honestly feel like I've been given another lease of life.
Well, Professor Tim McDonnell is consultant respiratory physician and board member of COPD Support Ireland. He's encouraging anyone experiencing shortness of breath to get tested.
The problem is that it's a disease that comes on gradually. Patients and people who have the disorder may feel that the shortness of breath, which is one of the principal symptoms that they get, is just a symptom of getting older. They just feel that as they're getting older, they're more inclined to be short of breath, whereas in fact there's something going on. And if you are getting short of breath, you should get checked out. It's particularly if you've got risk factors for COPD, you may have COPD, you may have other respiratory issues, or indeed you might have cardiac issues that are causing you to get short of breath. But one thing with COPD is it's a relatively simple test, spirometry, which can diagnose the disorder. And this has become a bit more available around the country. The HSC is rolling out hubs around for support of GPs and primary care in many places around the country, including in Donegal. And spirometry is going to be available in these centres for patients. But the bottom line is that if you think you've got COPD, you should at least talk to your healthcare practitioner about it.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Check out the new Kids Nastics range for young gymnasts at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with League of Ireland football. Derry City's new manager, Tiernan Lynch, sat with the media for the first time today. The 44-year-old left back-to-back Irish League Premiership champions Larne to join the Candy Stripes on a 3-year contract, replacing Rory Higgins. Speaking with Highlands' Martin Holmes, the new boss fully understands the expectation of the club and the supporters.
Listen, I think any big club always has expectations, and Derry City is no different, and we're fully aware of that. As I keep saying, that this is not a quick fix. This is not something that's a flick of a switch and you're going to now start challenging Rovers and overtaking Rovers and Shelburne and all goes with it. There's a process to go through here. There's structures to be put in place. But I've no doubt in my mind, or I wouldn't be here, that we can get where we need to go.
Meanwhile, Derry City's chairman Sean Barrett says the new man at the helm is up for the challenge of bringing the club forward.
It's a big challenge because it's a contract approach here. He's going to have to build the structures in place for academy and stuff like that, whilst at the same time, the rigours of the League of Ireland. He's up against the big boys now. He's up against the Stephen Kennys, the Damien Duffs, the Stephen Bradleys. He's up with the big boys now. It's a realistic challenge. And you can see it in his eyes. He's keen for it, Mavin, because he's went as far as he could, as he says, that we learn. Now this is the next challenge, and boy, is he up for it.
James McLean has revealed he never asked for special permission in relation to leaving the field of play. McLean will be allowed to leave the pitch via the shortest route to the tunnel after several instances where he has endured verbal abuse from supporters. Current rules state that a player being substituted must leave the pitch closest to where they are positioned. McLean had a hot drink thrown at him in a recent game, and he said his Wrexham boss, Phil Parkinson, made the move. In rugby, Rob Herring and Ian Henderson have signed new deals with Ulster. Herring has penned a one-year contract extension, keeping the 34-year-old at the province until at least 2026. The hooker is Ulster's most capped player and made history when he made his 230th cap last season against Munster. Herring has been capped 42 times for Ireland, winning a Grand Slam and playing at the 2023 Rugby World Cup. Well, Ulster captain Henderson has also agreed a new two-year deal with the province. The 32-year-old will remain at the King's Span until 2027. Henderson, who has earned 82 caps with Ireland, will see his central contract with the IRFU expire this summer. Leo Cullen says he's delighted and honoured to extend his tenure as Leinster rugby head coach. He's put pen to paper on a two-year contract extension to end speculation about his future. Australian centre Asamoah Gyervey will miss their clash with Ireland in Dublin later this month. He's been hit with a three-game ban after being sent off for a high hit in the Wallabies win against Wales. In golf, Tom McKibben has been selected to play for Ireland and Great Britain against Continental Europe at Golf's Team Cup. Justin Rose will be captaining the British and Irish team in Abu Dhabi, while Francesco Molinari will skipper Europe. Meanwhile, Tyrrell Hatton is also on the Ireland and Great Britain team for that competition, which boosts his chances of Ryder Cup selection, as participation has been in doubt since he joined LIV Golf. Finally, in colleges sport, the ATU Donegal ladies soccer side concluded their WSCAI First Division group stage with a 4-3 win over Dundalk IT this week. Terry Lockery scored two, while Aaron Doherty and Brona Gallagher also got in the score sheet. They play Maynooth in the league semi-final next week. And the ATU men's hurlers lost in their senior hurling league Division 3 quarter-final yesterday evening, going down to a strong TU Dublin side. The hurlers will be back in action in the new year for the championship. There you go, that's your sport for today. Michaela will have more after the 8:30 news tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Aisin. And returning to some news, successive governments have abandoned workers in the education sector who have had to take extended sick leave because they were assaulted in the course of their work. That's according to Intu's Donegal general election candidate, Mary T. Sweeney, who says she has heard many stories of teachers, SNAs and other support workers who have suffered as a result of being assaulted in work. She says she's aware of one particular worker who's been out of work for 2 years following an assault, but at present, education workers in that situation only receive payments for 3 to 6 months. Ms. Sweeney says this must be addressed by the Department of Education.
Any issue where it's happening is serious. And the reality is that it's something that needs to be, people need support to keep people in SNEs and teachers in place, then this shouldn't be an issue. They should be getting support when it does happen. And other areas also in the school buses, I've heard of incidents where SNEs have been assaulted or injured. And but they need support if they're off, if they're injured, they're sick. They need the financial support to stay at home.
The 12 jurors in the civil legal action against Conor McGregor have been told at least 9 of them must be in agreement before they can return a verdict. The MMA fighter and his friend James Lawrence are being sued for damages by 35-year-old Nikita Hand, who claims they raped her in a Dublin hotel in 2018. Court's correspondent Frank Rainey has this report, which contains details of a sexual nature that some listeners may find distressing.
Nikita Hand claims Conor McGregor raped her in the penthouse suite of the Beacon Hotel. He denies that, claiming they had fully consensual sex on two occasions. His friend James Lawrence claims he also had consensual sex with her after Mr. McGregor left the hotel. Ms. Hand told Gardaí she had no memory of having sex with Mr. Lawrence, and under cross-examination at trial she told the jury she believed it was a made-up story. Mr. Justice Alex Owens began directing the jurors yesterday on how they should approach their deliberations. He told them to seek out reliable evidence and warned them not to speculate. If you engage in that, you wouldn't be an Inspector Poirot, but an Inspector Clouseau, he said. He'll resume his summary of the evidence to the jurors tomorrow, and once that's done, they will then be asked to begin their deliberations. Frank Rainey at the High Court.
Donegal County Council has been told there's a demand for reasonably priced service sites across the county which would allow people build their own homes. He says it's a model that has worked well in the past, saying developments in Letterkenny have been very successful and that can be replicated. Councillor McBride believes more service sites would be of particular benefit to people who may not qualify for social housing but don't have the withdrawal to buy a house on the open market.
I'm just like every other councillor. I have people ringing me on a regular basis saying they just don't qualify for council house. They're over the threshold but don't come within touching distance of being able to secure a mortgage, particularly people maybe, you know, in their 40s and early 50s that are single. And they're just finding it impossible to pay rents, you know, that are out there at the moment and not really qualifying for any rent support or anything like that. You know, they're in a really difficult situation.
Weather now, it will be cold this evening with a mix of clear spells and scattered showers, some of sleet and snow. Very cold and largely clear tonight with scattered showers of sleet and snow also. Frost and icy stretches will develop again overnight as temperatures fall to between -4 and -1 degree. The closing headlines this evening, a nurse at Letterkenny University Hospital says basic care is being delayed and missed due to ongoing staff shortages. Health unions held a lunchtime protest outside the hospital today in opposition to the HSE's pay and number strategy. An elderly woman has been seriously injured in Strabane after an incident involving two young males driving dangerously on an electric scooter and a bike. The incident occurred in the Melmount Road area within the vicinity of St Mary's Primary School at around 10 to 5 yesterday afternoon. The number of COPD patients being admitted to Letterkenny University Hospital is down 22%. The decrease is due to a newly developed alternative care pathway that has been available to people living with COPD since November 2023. And as you just heard, Donegal County Council has been told there's a demand for reasonably priced service sites across the county which would allow people build their own homes. Councillor Michael McBride says it's a model that has worked well in the past, saying developments in Letterkenny have been very successful and that can be replicated. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice says for this Wednesday evening, November the 20th. The death has taken place of Mary Rose Blaney, née Began, Ross Nikhil Fanad, formerly Ahabog Monaghan. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 6 o'clock this evening, with family time pleas from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Rosary nightly at 8 o'clock. Funeral in Mass Mount Fanad on Friday morning at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. The death has occurred in Surrey, England, of Bridget Bridie Brooke, née Patton, formerly Ballinacore Crossroads Killigordon. Remains reposing at the home of her niece, Mrs. Patricia McGovern, Drumavish Crossroads Killigordon, tomorrow evening from 5 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Fiona leaving from there on Friday morning at 20 past 10 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church Crossroads Killigordon, followed by interment in the adjoining churchyard. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on the Killigordon Parish YouTube channel. Family time please on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Roisin Kelly, née Sweeney, 64 Laurel Drive, Strabane, and formerly of the Crescent, Claddy, reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 20 past 9 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time please from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. And the death has taken place of Jerry McLaughlin, 15 New Street, Claddy, and formerly of Stanley's Walk, Derry, reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:15 for Requiem Mass in St Columba's Church, Donnylub at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via Donnylub Chapel YouTube channel. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.